Whether you ride a bike, a Bronco, or a skateboard, Wrangler jeans are for you.
Classic or modern styles, a range of fits.
All price points, vintage re-releases.
Wrangler has something for everyone.
Visit Wrangler.com and check out their selection of jeans, shirts, and outerwear for men and women.
New styles, great fits.
Wrangler, real, comfortable jeans.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's going on, everybody? DJ Bucky here. A little Move the Sticks action. Buck, how you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Got a chance to watch a good Monday night game, so I'm good.
Yeah, we're going to dig into that Monday night game here in just a minute. Also going to have some fun with our panic button. We do this every year around this time. Go through some teams and whether or not they should be panicked or not. I think you've got a makeshift button there with you, Buck. I've got like a detonator for my button is what I've
got. Yeah, I don't have
like a football pen. Oh, yeah, there it is. There it is. Test that thing out. And then we get into our college football takeaways, what we saw last week, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. You ready to get started?
Let's do it.
All right, Monday Night Football, big win for the Chicago Bears. That defense getting after the Seattle Seahawks, 24-17. A game, though, I think probably we agreed, a line of scrimmage game, and a line of scrimmage game that was pretty much dominated by the Bears.
Yeah, it was dominated by the Bears. I mean, look, Khalil Mack's addition to this defense has changed everything. We could talk about it looks like and feels like the Bills are playing harder. Listen to the interview with Danny Trevathan, Akeem Hicks. They're talking about how they want to make it where people hate coming into Soldier Field to deal with the defense, the physicality, the toughness. I think a lot of that stems from Khalil Mack. You talked about Roquan Smith being a guy that is going to walk into a Defensive Rookie of the Year award because he is such a sideline-to-sideline menace. When I look at this team, I see Prince Amukamara making plays.
I know.
That's unbelievable. He couldn't catch anything during previous stints. But because he is playing with a ferocious pass rush, he's squatting on routes, it allows everyone to play better. We've talked about this before. The front end can make the back end so much better through the course of using pressure. I like the way this Bears defense is trending. I like the way the Bears are trending. This is going to be a team that we talk about being very, very competitive down the stretch.
Yeah, and once again, look, the Seattle offensive line gets a lot of grief. They've got a lot of grief for a long time, and they're not a good group. But Russell does not help matters with the way he holds onto the ball in the pocket, and he runs himself into some sacks. Like, it's a bad combination right now what they're working with. And to me, it showed a little bit the value of a guy like Doug Baldwin. You know, you take him out of this offense, and so many of those scramble plays – Doug is such a great route runner when things are on schedule. He wins there. But then off schedule, scramble drills, his instincts, his awareness, a lot of those broken plays, him and Russ being on the same page, man, they miss him in a big way.
They miss him, but let's be honest. Let's look at this roster and what they currently
have. We said it was a 4 or 5-win team before the season
started. 4 or 5-win team. Who is a five-star player outside of Russell Wilson on offense? Who is the guy that when you read the advanced scouting report and you present it to the coaches, who is the guy that you're worried about? They have nice players. They have guys that are what I would call 3 stars, B-level players on the perimeter. They don't have anyone that can affect coverage, that can force a double team. And so West Coast proponents like Brian Schottenheimer, they believe that the system will uncover everybody, will get everybody open, but it's a players' game. You have to have players. And I don't know if the Hawks have enough players on the outside to win games because I don't know if they have enough guys that can win their one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, the interesting thing is you look at that football team and you look inside that division, it looks like the Rams are just – they're operating at a completely different level than what the Seahawks are, and we'll see what happens there. The Cardinals, it's not looking so good there with the Cardinals right now either, Buck. So it's going to be an interesting division to follow as we go throughout the season here. There's another takeaway we could get to. Man, it's still – when they didn't announce Josh Rosen as a starter, we did our last pod, and then right after that they announced that he was not going to be starting. Were you shocked by that, by the way? I'm sorry to take a left turn. I just thought for sure we would see him this week.
Man, I'm scratching my head a little bit. The offense has been putrid. They haven't been able to generate enough points. They couldn't get past the 50-yard line. It looked like a high school
game.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, how bad does it have to be?
I mean, I don't know. But I think at some point you want to make sure that you can get the young guy out there and give the team some hope. I mean, like, look, I like Sam Bradford. When Sam Bradford has been healthy, typically he has played pretty well. They just don't have any juice. They don't have any sauce. And so maybe the young guy can give them some sauce. And if not, let's start the developmental process right away. Let's get him out there. Let's get him going. Let's find out what he can do so we can go into offseason and build around his strengths and kind of help him become a nice player in 2019. I don't know. The Cardinals were so sleepy offensively. It's hard to go. It's hard.
I think three of the four teams are defined. I mentioned those three. You know, look, Arizona looks terrible. Seattle, not great. And then I think the Rams look fantastic. It's the 49ers that are there. TBD, to be determined there on what the 49ers football team is going to be going forward. One other piece of news, we joked about it. And literally right after we finished the podcast, we joked about how, you know, Carson Wentz, like, hey, take your time, lose to Tampa, you're good. Okay, let's get you out there. And sure enough, Doug Peterson announced that Carson will be starting this week against the Indianapolis Colts. Can't say that we were surprised.
No, I can't say that we were surprised at all. Look, part of what the Super Bowl champions are suffering from is the hangover. They're getting everybody's best game. People are coming at them in attack mode. And so it's going to look different than it looked last year. And for all the things that Nick Foles was able to accomplish during his brief postseason run on the way to being the Super Bowl MVP, we know that he has limitations. Carson Wentz is the franchise quarterback because he can do so much. And we go back and we look at the injuries that they have on the outside. They don't have the playmakers necessary. They need an elevator. Carson Wentz is going to elevate the play of the others around him with his presence. That is why I believe the Philadelphia Eagles feel the pressure to put him on the field. They need someone that can elevate that offense to give him some life. He's the guy who has the juice.
All right, Buck, we're going to get to our panic button segment here. We're going to go through some teams and discuss whether or not we should be freaked out a little bit by what we've seen on the field. Before we get to that, though, I don't think I even told people. We whispered it last week. We can confirm. We are going to have Von Miller on the podcast coming up on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to the folks getting a chance to hear what Von has to say.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about an elite pass rusher, arguably the best pass rusher in the league. I can't wait to talk to him and kind of pick his brain about some of the things that are important to being an elite pass rusher in this league that is becoming more pass-centric by the week.
No question. So be on the lookout for that on the next episode. But we're here. We're right now. Let's do the panic button. Sully, why don't you take the lead on this? Just fire off some teams. And, Bucky, I'll let you take the floor first on these, and I'll follow up. Are we pushing the panic button, or are we chilling? Are we relaxing here? Go ahead, Sully.
All right. We just did our Monday Night Football recap. Let's keep it with the team that took the L last night in my Seattle Seahawks. Are you hitting the panic button on the Hawks yet?
Oh, it's over.
Go ahead, Buck.
Oh, it's over. Yeah, like it's a wrap. Let's start planning for 2019. It's OVA. and it's not Drake. I mean, it is. We had to figure out what is going on with the Hawks. The Hawks don't have enough talent to be able to compete on both sides. I do like the fact that the young cornerback came up with a couple interceptions, but offensively, they're still what they are. They don't have star players on the outside. The offensive line is continuing to be in flux. And then the play caller is still trying to figure out what to do with Russell. I just don't think they will ever be in a situation where they can score enough points to knock off some of the heavyweights. Yeah, I think it's done. Let's get ready for 2019 if you're a Seahawks fan.
Yeah, you know, you have that extra cup of coffee can make you kind of jittery and a little bit nervous. That's what I feel like when I watch them up front. So I've got my little detonator here. I'm going to go ahead and hit my button there. I'm definitely hitting the panic button. Although, you know, look, it's weird saying panic because it's what we expected. It's not unexpected what's taking place there up in the Northwest. All right, let's give me the next one here. Who we got, Sully?
Keeping in the division, we'll go Arizona Cardinals. Are you hitting the panic button on those guys just yet with the rookie on the bench?
Yeah, I'm not hitting the panic button. I'm hitting the eject button. And in the seat, I'm ejecting Sam Bradford, and I'm putting in Josh Rosen.
You need a scream. You need a scream sound.
Yeah, I need Josh Rosen to get in there. Like, what are we waiting on? Let's see what we can build with the connection. Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, let's see what we have with this offense with Josh Rosen at the helm. Don't keep playing out the string. Let's go ahead and make the move.
I would hit the panic button, but somebody placed it on the other side of the 50. And
they can't get to
much
it.
Much like the Arizona Cardinals couldn't get there. So you hit the button. Absolutely hit the button on these guys. I saw them in the preseason, Buck. I thought offensive line-wise they were better than they had been, and I thought getting David Johnson back, they'd get things going. They've talked about it, though. They need to be more creative. Got to be more creative with what you're doing with him. He's too good of a football player not to be more productive than we've seen early on. Until they get that ship righted with the running game and until I see Josh Rosen on the field, which should have happened yesterday, in my opinion, I'm definitely panicking on this football team. Who's next?
Chucky's Raiders. Are you hitting the panic button on those guys yet?
I mean, I'm not panicked. I don't like what it looks like. So, yeah, we can hit the panic button. Hit whatever button you want to hit. Raider Nation, I'm so disappointed. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry right now because it has to be hard to look at Monday Night Football after looking at Sunday Night Football and think about the guy that everyone had bought the jersey. They used to show up in the black hole. 52. 52 is all we know. He's the defensive player of the year in 2016. And you look at him and your coach said, I mean, why do we need a pass rusher? Like, we weren't really good with him. And all he does is wreck shop for the Bears in back-to-back weeks. There's not a pass rusher on the Oakland Raiders. And so if they can't stop the run, they can't get after the passer, I don't know how they're going to win. Yeah, it's a done deal. It's donezo. It's donezo in Oakland.
Yeah, I'm going to smack that panic button as well with the Oakland Raiders. And here's the worst nightmare, though, Buck, as bad as it is right now. Just keep this in mind.
It's going to get worse.
0-2, they're going to go to the Dolphins. I think they'll probably will lose to the Dolphins. Dolphins will surprise everybody at being at 3-0 on the season. So then you've got the Raiders at 0-3, and then guess where they go next?
Where?
They're at home. They're at home against the Cleveland Browns, and they better get on their hands and knees and hope that Cleveland has found their first win before they come to the black hole. Because if the Raiders are 0-3 and they gift wrap the first win to the Cleveland Browns in the 30-plus games that they've gone without a victory, as bad as it is right now, Buck, I would not want to be around then.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and smack that panic button with them. Who's next?
This team, just like a lot like the Raiders, they got a tough schedule coming up. They have the Buccaneers on Monday, Ravens the week after, and the Falcons in 3 weeks. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are you hitting the panic button on the Bellless Steelers?
Oh, man, this is a tough one, man.
I feel like we're hitting it on all these teams. I mean, are we nervous? What is our deal? I'm panicking on all these guys.
Maybe it's the coffee button, but, yeah, I'm nervous. You know why I'm nervous? Because this team doesn't like each other. Hit the panic button. It's tough. You got Ben Roethlisberger's, I guess, alleged friend taking shots at Antonio Brown via Twitter, subtweeting that Antonio Brown was made by the quarterback. Antonio Brown saying, well, trade me then. Let's see how good Ben Roethlisberger is. You got Lev Bell sitting at home eating popcorn. The offensive line is mad at him because he's not there. James Conner was great 1 week. We didn't know where he was week two. It's tough. I said this. I didn't think that it would be the Bengals, but I didn't think the Pittsburgh Steelers would win the division. And it's looking like they're not the best team in the division. I just don't see it getting better. Unless Lev Bell shows up, I don't see it getting better.
Yeah, I mean, I like to have some hope and buy into the history of this team, and the franchise seems like they always figure it out, much like the Patriots, and they're always left standing at the end, in the postseason at least. But smack that button, silly. I'm worried about this football team. Secondary-wise, Buck, not good. I mean, they just got so exposed, and they're going to see some teams as they go throughout the season. They're going to challenge them in the back end, and the chemistry, man. Like, people laugh at that. I know there's some cynics out there that think that's all mumbo jumbo. It matters, man. When you've been around championship level teams, genuinely, there's something to that. And man, there's just too much discord right now for me.
Too much discord. Like, it's a done deal. It's a wrap. It's over.
All right, give me the next one.
Next team, it's keeping in the division. The Brownies. Are you hitting the panic button on the Browns?
No, I'm not gonna panic on the Browns. I'm not panicking because they've been right there in the mix. They just can't – they got to find a way to win a game. They have to find a way to win. And I think, you know, like, they're close. The field goal kicker was awful, kind of cost them there. I think at some point they will figure it out. They'll get a win. I'm not panicking. They're going to win some games.
I had a stat yesterday. I forgot to use it on the Aftermath show, but it was the number of close losses.
Eight games they lost by 6 points in this 19-game winless streak.
Yeah, man. So they're knocking on the door. You get a tie against Steelers,
right?
Had every
there.
Opportunity to win that game. The
freaking
Saints
right
again,
there.
Field goals. You should be. They really should be 2-0 right now. They've got the Jets this week. It's at home on a Thursday night against a rookie quarterback. So this is set up for them to get their first win here against the New York Jets. We'll see if they can pull that off. If not, you go against the Raiders. So there's a chance. Hey, look, as bad as they've been, they could win 2 in a row here, and everybody be feeling great about Cleveland. They'd be 2-2 with a real look in the mirror, knowing you could be 4-0. So, no, absolutely no panic right now.
No panic. We're good with them.
All right, heading down to Texas. Are we hitting the panic button on Deshaun Watson and the Texans?
Deshaun Watson and the Texans. I mean,
he tried to lump them in there. It wasn't just the Texans. He said Deshaun Watson and the Texans.
Yeah, you got Deshaun Watson and the Texans. It changes the dynamic a little bit. I may exhibit a little more patience for the Texans. Part of this is I know the quarterback is coming off an injury, still trying to find his way. I think they'll get better. I need to see more from their running game. They got to continue to take some pressure off of him, but I believe they'll be fine. They'll be fine because no one in that division is going to run away, I don't think, unless it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they'll be in the mix.
Well, I mean, the reason that you could push the panic button is because they just lost to a team without both their offensive tackles, and their safety darn near led them in passing, and Kevin Byard, and they lost. So that, to me, is a very, very upsetting situation there for the Houston Texans. But I'm with Buck. Let's give this a little more time with Sean coming off injury. Got Will Fuller back in the lineup last week. We saw the impact that he made. He does help there take coverage away from Hopkins. They kind of Batman-Robin thing going on there. So I'm going to give him a little bit more time. Let's get to that Colts game week four and revisit this conversation. But right now, I'm not going to panic.
Let's go from the Texans to their opponent this weekend, the New York Giants, hitting the panic button on those guys.
Okay. I don't know if everyone should hit the panic button, but I'm close to hitting the panic button. I'm not saying it's over.
I know why. I know why. Play the clip.
He starts whining and crying.
I love that thing. That clip is over a year old, but your Eli Manning impression always makes me laugh.
Here's what happened with me. Here's what happened. Look, you always got to go with your gut. My gut told me a year ago that Eli Manning couldn't play. However, I got swept up in the emotions of the Giants when the Giants started adding all the pieces. I was like, well, maybe it wasn't Eli. Maybe he just didn't have enough support. But then I sit there and watch him, and I know, yeah, it's Eli. And so I'm more panicked, not because of the Giants and the Giants' playoff hopes are on the line. I'm more panicked because in back-to-back years, I told people, run out to the stores.
Print the
shirts.
Get
your shirts. Get the confetti. Get a new era fitted. Be ready. It's going to be a parade, attack or defend, all those other things. And, it's not looking like they're going to be able to live up.
So here's how I'm going to save you on this, because all you technically said was print the shirts. Now, what those shirts say, I finally did some digging and found out what those shirts say. It's customized shirts for a New Year's Eve party, because their season's going to end on 12:30. And then on New Year's Eve, they get the whole team together. They have a big party. They go overseas.
But you know what?
They want to do with those shirts.
And I'm also ready to say this, because I know I've heard people have the take. Like, here's what people are saying. See, at the second overall pick, they should have taken Sam Darnold. They could have.
Oh, everybody's saying it. We talked about it on the podcast.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to double down, and I'm going to say, look, taking Saquon Barkley was the right move, because in their – genius, in their ingenuity, they knew that they were going to get the number one pick in 2019.
I don't know if that quarterback's
going to be
better
going to
than
get
the one
they passed
on.
They're going to get a quarterback that is going to surpass what Sam Darnold did. They're going to find the quarterback. And it's all going to look like a brilliant master plan. Odell Beckham
Bird
Jr.,
in the hand.
Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard. Maybe, just maybe, there is a quarterback that wears red, a little scarlet and gray. Maybe he's the guy. Maybe he's the quarterback at Missouri. I don't know. Maybe they'll find their guy, and that'll make it all worthwhile to go through another bad season so they can get the quarterback that they want.
Let's play this game then real quick, and we'll move on to the next team after this. But let's just play that. We always do, as we do in the personnel departments, you put up on the whiteboard what combination would you like. You could do this player in the first round, that player in the second round. So I'm going to give you the combination. You tell me what you'd like. You could have Sam Darnold. Okay? Mm-hmm. And next year with this top pick that you've talked about having, you take, get this, wait for it, an offensive tackle. A good offensive tackle. So I get a quarterback. I get a quarterback and a premier OT. You can have Saquon and whoever emerges from the pile of quarterbacks this year.
Don't disparage the quarterbacks.
I'm just saying. Who would you rather have, a running back and a quarterback next year? rather than Sam Darnold in a big-time left tackle?
A big-time left tackle? What big-time left tackle? When was the last time we had a big-time left tackle just come in the league and dominate? They took a big-time left tackle in the top 10 a couple years ago, and he was flailing around against DeMarcus Lawrence.
No, that was a third-round pick that they took in the first round.
He's flailing like he has no hands. He's out there again. Blocking in boxing gloves. He can't get his hands on anybody.
I'm still trying to get my term, my matrix term to catch on or whatever. Some of these offensive tackles, when they get popped in the chest and their arms just go all over the place.
All over the place.
Anyways, yeah, I'm panicked on the Giants. I don't know if you hit the button or not, but I'm definitely panicked on
that. You panic on the Giants?
There's lots of reason to be panicked. They've got 2 touchdowns in 2 games. That's all I need to say there. How about the Lions?
All right, boys. Let's head to Detroit and go to the Lions.
Oh, I'm beyond panic. I need 2 buttons. I need a double button. Boom, boom. Get 2 buttons. I hit it twice. Twice as nice with the panic in Detroit. This is a team that they won 9 games a season ago. Yeah, they'd be hard-pressed to get to 9 wins this year. Part of it is my man Matty P came in, didn't like anything that they were doing there, tore it all up. Said they got to get tougher, got to get rougher, got to make sure they do all the other stuff. We're going to run extra wind sprints. We're going to curse and fuss at all the players. We're going to make it hard. We're going to make it New England-like in the Motor City. And right now they're 1-2. And guess who comes to town?
An angry Pats team.
Oof. Oh, boy.
So then we're going to go to 0-3. Oof. I don't like it.
I like to do this just because I can see this gets under Bucky's skin a little bit every time I do it, is when I like to sing on the podcast. And we have Boyz II Men, who's kind of making a comeback, by the way. We've seen Boyz II Men did a great job in an anthem on the opening night there for the Philadelphia Eagles. So when I think of the Detroit Lions, Matt Patricia, and this whole situation they've got going on there, and all the whispers that you're starting to hear around the league, talking to different folks, hearing what's going on inside that building with the team and the staff and all that kind of stuff, I just get one song that rolls through my head, Buck.
What, we reached the end of the road?
We don't even talk anymore.
Oh, man.
We don't even know what we argue about.
We could do all kinds of stuff with them and what's happening.
You don't
happening.
Even say you love me anymore. Thank you very much. That's not going to end well. Not going to end well at all. And I wouldn't be surprised. You know what? Be on the lookout for this one. I've got one for you. How about keep an eye on maybe a veteran player or two? And this is no inside information. This is just looking at this from the outside. Because you know there's going to be some complaining and some grumbling when you've got veterans there and you're not winning and you don't like the way things are operating and you're being treated like you're a first-year player. I would not be shocked if we saw a couple veterans traded before too long. Wouldn't shock me.
We're going to trade players away?
I'm just saying. Wow. I just put that out there. Wow. I'm sure there's a couple of those veteran players would be like, hey, I'm good. You want to send me elsewhere? You can bring in some young kid. You can indoctrinate into this whole way of doing business, but it's not for me. Man. I'm just saying that's my little bold prediction.
Man, that's tough.
We got one more. Who do we got, Sully?
One more. Let's head to Tennessee and the Titans. Panic button or nah?
No, I'm not gonna hit the panic button. You know why I'm gonna hit the panic button? Because maybe the Titans have figured out that a 2-quarterback system is better for them. I'm gonna say that Blaine Gabbert has saved the season for the Titans. They're 1-1.
Get on the Blaine train.
I mean, maybe, just maybe, they've decided that they can find a way to win with 2 quarterbacks playing.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't. The panic button? I don't think I had high hopes for them. I can't remember what my
they went to the playoffs. They're 1-1.
I know, but I did not have – I don't think I had high expectations of this team this year. Panic button? No, I'm not hitting the panic button. I think it's a 500 team. It's just – that's what it looks like to me. It's just what they are. No panic. No panic. Just enjoy. That's kind of who you are. Just embrace it.
That's just who you are?
Yeah,
that's who you are.
Sometimes you are who you are. That's who you are. With smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping, Mack Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, and more that you'll ever wear.
Not only do Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well, too.
Perfect for working out, going to work, going out on dates, just everyday life.
And DJ, you'll love this. They have a line of silver underwear and undershirts that are naturally eliminating odor. How about that? They're antimicrobial. How about that?
You crushed it. And if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they will still refund you, no questions asked.
For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code STICKS at checkout.
That's MackWeldon.com. Enter promo code STICKS at checkout for 20% off your first order. And do not forget, antimicrobial. All right, Mark, had a little fun there with the panic button, and let's switch gears now. A little college football, a little takeaway from a week three action. It's apparently Bucky's just taking his game up to a whole nother level now this season. I don't know what happened to you. What got into you?
I'm trying not to do the gifts. I'm trying to focus in a little more. I'm trying not to do the funny stuff. I'm trying not to be the lone wolf all week. Sometimes I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm going to put myself in a position to be there at the end, and then I'm going to win it.
Yeah, you're right there. A good week for you. What are you? Are you in first place now?
Nah, Sully's in first place.
No, Sully's still in first.
He'll come back to pack because we'll start having Tennessee games, and he'll have to pick with his heart.
No, he doesn't do that. He does. He's all about winning. He doesn't care about Tennessee.
That's true. All about the Dub, boys.
We'll find out this week. What was your biggest takeaway from last week? For me, I'll give you mine real quick, and that was flipping between the Ohio State and TCU game and the USC-Texas game and just seeing – just body type-wise and athlete-wise, where Ohio State was compared to the other three teams involved. And now TCU gave them all they could handle. They played great. Gary Patterson is an outstanding coach. They got some pressure on Haskins and gave him some issues. But eventually, it's like a blur. Once they get rolling, get a defensive play, quick score on offense, they're just too explosive. Ohio State, I think, look, Alabama's the best team in the country. No questions asked. But I do selfishly look forward to seeing Alabama-Ohio State. Man, I want to see that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you talked about that game, the USC game. I think that speaks to probably a bigger problem. The Pac-12 is just down when it comes to looking at the other Power 5 conferences. They just don't have whatever it is, the it factor. They don't have the athletes. They don't have the style of play that I think you're going to need to be successful in the playoffs. And right now there's only one team from the Pac-12 that I probably could put in there, and I think that would be UW. I mean, maybe you could mention Stanford. I worry about Stanford's overall athleticism and speed.
Yeah.
But when I look at the top teams, I look at the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, even the Penn States, I just don't see from personnel, man on man, I just don't see where the Pac-12 matches up to that.
And getting back to Alabama here real quick, they give up the quick seven to DK Metcalf.
Oh, look,
and then
I settled in.
Was a wrap.
I just settled in. I sat on the couch. I was like, we got a little game. Like, and then the rest of the game happened.
My first thought was when they scored was, Kent's going to give me so much crap because I crushed him for stop giving us these Alabama games, man. They're not close. They're not competitive. It's not fun to pick these games because all four of us are going to pick Alabama every single time. And then I'm like, Ole Miss up 7-0. If they win this game, Kent's going to try and wear us out on that. And then that was it. That was a wrap. 62-7. They never stopped. They poured it on. And then they, look, throwing the ball four touchdowns, no big deal, over 300 yards. And then running the ball over 200 yards on the ground. What did they do, Buck? They did whatever they wanted.
Whatever they wanted to do, they were able to accomplish. They just kind of had their way. And I think the funny thing about it is watching the receivers and the playmakers. Jerry Jeudy had a nice touchdown catch. All the weapons that Alabama has. And the thing about Alabama that's so scary, their best players are all young.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about them forever and ever. I mean, their best players are so young, still trying to find their way in college football, but they're so productive. They do a great job at Alabama.
49-7 is the largest SEC halftime lead in a conference game.
Wow. I mean, it was an ugly game.
I just don't know, like, what Nick Saban always wants to coach hard and is always going to not be happy. That's not good enough. What do you complain about when you watch this tape?
You can pick out the little details. Maybe you didn't line up right. Your socks were too low. You didn't have your tape on right. Like you just pick stuff. You pick stuff to get on the players about. Keep them in line.
Hey, we almost got a sideline warning, okay? We almost did. He thought about calling it. He thought about warning us. Didn't happen. I mean, I don't know how you do that. But then we had some bad matchups, just some bad teams. I thought Oklahoma-Iowa State ended up being interesting for a minute there. And then I guess really the big upset of the day was BYU.
You may have been traveling, but this was a bit of a controversy. After the Oklahoma-Iowa State game, Matt Miller, we know Matt Miller from like Twitter,
Bleacher Report,
does his own thing, pretty respected in the media industry for his evaluations on talent. He tweeted out that he had texted an area scout, and he had asked that scout, hey, if you're looking at the Oklahoma game and you're looking at what Kyler Murray has done under Lincoln Riley, does it make you a little nervous thinking about Baker Mayfield? Is he more of a system playmaker than – you know, just being worthy of being the number one overall pick? To that, Baker Mayfield replied, whew, with some heat. But focus on. Oh boy, it was a Twitter battle.
Baker's always listening to what's out there.
The takeaway isn't that. I think the bigger thing would be, as an evaluator, how much do you put on the coach versus the player? Because we have seen Kyler Murray get out to a hot start. Does it make you think about, was Baker elevated by Lincoln Riley, or are you able to kind of separate the system and really look at the talent of the player?
Well, that's why you get paid to be a scout. You know what I mean? Like, that's the job. The job is being able to separate the talent from the production. If it was just about – if scouting was scouting production, Bucky, you just need a piece of paper with some box scores on it, and we can tell you who the great players are. That's what scouting is. So you can have two players be very productive in the same surrounding, and you can have wildly different grades on them because of their skill set and what you're seeing when you actually study the tape. So to me, that's – look, I don't necessarily penalize Baker for the fact that they're rolling along and being productive after him, just as I wouldn't penalize, you know, an Alabama player that is following up. Oh, they've had all these other receivers that have continued to do this, so this guy just, you know, another one in the line. I don't know. I don't get into the whole this team has never – this school has never produced a good running back. This school has never produced a good linebacker. Every evaluation to me is individual. You've got to focus on that, or you're going to end up missing big. We'll see what happens with Mahomes. I mean, that was an interesting case study because nobody from that offensive system had been successful, and now we see Mahomes do it. So then does that bode well for a guy like Baker who came through something very similar?
Well, I think so. I think now it kind of helps. And also because so many pro coaches are stealing from those systems and putting those things into practice, I think it may be less of a question in the real football world more so than in the media world. I do think it's a fascinating discussion trying to separate a player's talent from his production and his scheme enhancement. I just thought it was an interesting debate to have on a Saturday, the fact that Baker was engaging in it doesn't surprise me.
Oh, yeah, that's not a
surprise. It made me think about how evaluators will look at guys like a Kyler Murray and some of the other guys that have played in prolific systems when it comes down to trying to figure out where they fit in the draft race.
All right, I did not get to see any of this game, but I know you were mentioning it before we went on air about watching some of that BYU-Wisconsin game.
Ooh,
and what a big win for the Cougars, huh?
Big win. The Cougars, look, the Cougars are trying to play old-school big boy football, as my dad would say. Like, they line up, they try and smash and dash, but they sprinkled in a couple tricks. I saw a double pass that was nice. I like that. And I think what they were able to do when it came to Wisconsin, they were able to kind of out Wisconsin, meaning they made it kind of a game that was played in a phone booth. They made it where it was a physical game. It was a toughness game. It was who was going to blink when it came down to stopping the ISO and the power. And Wisconsin just couldn't get over the hump. They were kind of on the treadmill all day because they played for behind for the majority of the game. Even though it was a small deficit, they were just always trying to climb uphill. It was a big win for BYU. We'll see. BYU is tough. They lost the game to Cal, but they whooped Arizona. We'll see how good this team is in a few weeks.
All-name team, yeah. Squally Canada, their running back, outplayed Jonathan Taylor. I was impressed with him.
How about that? Yeah, big win there for BYU. Last game here we'll get to from the college weekend. One, I think we both were on LSU. Were we both on LSU this last week, Buck? I know.
I rode the LSU train. I wasn't going with the Tigers down on the plane. Sully went with the Tigers, didn't he?
Well, we all went with the Tigers. Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, War Eagle.
Yes, the War Eagle Tigers. I was all on Stedham. It was close.
Yeah, it was a really close game. How about this nugget? This is from Jim Dunaway from down there in Alabama. Does a great job there on a Birmingham radio station, Jocks Radio down there. He tweeted this out. Well, this is Bruce Feldman with the original tweet. Since leaving Ole Miss, when you count his interim time as a head coach and then now at LSU, Ed Orgeron is 24-8. Since those days, and he's 4-2 against top 10 teams. I think that would shock some people. And then to put that in perspective, Jim Dunaway followed that up with, okay, Ed's 24-8 over the last 32 games. David Shaw, 24-8. Jim Harbaugh, 22-10. Jimbo Fisher, 21-11. Gus Malzahn, 21-11. Ed Orgeron, not so much a punchline right now, Buck.
Hey, when I look at them play, the quarterback, fine. Joe Barry has been a guy who has really helped him. He stabilized the situation. He's like throwing for 300-yard games. They're still playing LSU football. But when they have to pass, he's competent. And in the past, they didn't have competent passes. Made it very, very tough for them to score. That defense, the athletes they have are terrific. Greedy Williams making plays.
He's a stud.
Hey, look, LSU is nice. Oh, look, Auburn looks like Auburn. Auburn has some studs up front. I mean, It was just a really, really good SEC battle. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, watching Burrow struggle early on, and then every key kind of third down, even a fourth down here or there down the stretch, it just was standing there poised, strong in the pocket, and delivering the ball accurately. I was impressed with him, and we've said it. I mean, they don't need a world beater at quarterback with all the other players they're going to have, and they always have had there. Just need a competent quarterback.
And take care of the football, too, which he did.
There you go. That's all that they've needed from that position, and they're finally getting it. So it's fun to watch. When LSU's good, it's fun because then you have that LSU-Alabama game to look forward to later in the year, which is always a fun one. And we got a big week of college football games. I would say okay week this week, and then a big week coming up next week. Correct, Sully? That's when the slate gets kind of interesting.
Right. Then we have Ohio State, Penn State, and Stanford-Notre Dame, a couple of really big games next week.
Yeah, those will be fun. I think that's it for us, boys. Anything else we need here, Sully, before we get out of here?
No, that's it. We have our preview VODs coming up, looking at week three of the NFL slate. We have Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh on Monday night. We have San Francisco and going up against Pat Mahomes and Jimmy G and a few others. So look for those on youtube.com/NFL or NFL.com/MTSvideo.
Last thing, and we'll get out of here, Buck. I got to tell you, it's a little bit hot in the office today, but thankfully, I've got a little microbial on right now, so it's breathing.
Micro, that means it eliminates odor. Microbial.
There you go.
Microbial.
You're all over that. That's reps. That's just taking reps. That's all that is. That's just getting back in the batting cage, getting your cuts in, and now you found your stroke. You got your swing down. You're feeling good. I love that. Anything else? What are you working on, Buck? Come on, throw anything out there for folks to check out?
Oh, man. What am I talking about? I'm talking about how the Jacksonville Jaguars might have found the recipe for Blake Bortles. He might just be good enough to get him to the mix.
Oh, there you go. I like it. All right, that's going to do it for us. Be sure to check out those videos, as Sully mentioned, NFL.com/MTSvideo, as well as YouTube.com/NFL. Appreciate you guys downloading, subscribing, telling a buddy, leaving us a little review on Apple Podcasts. That helps as well. So have a good one. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.